The FAA wants quieter helicopters. Florida is next in line for the Metroplex initiative. And FlyersRights.org says, fine 'em. This is Aero News for Friday, September 21st, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has published proposed new standards for Stage 3 helicopter noise in the Federal Register as an NPRM. The proposal would set more stringent noise certification standards for helicopters that are certificated in the United States. This rule would apply to applications for a new helicopter type design and for a supplemental type certificate for those new type designs. This proposed rule is not retroactive to existing helos. This rule proposes to adopt the same noise certification standards for helicopters that exist in the standards of the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO. The proposal of these more stringent noise certification standards into U.S. regulations is consistent with the FAA's goal of harmonizing U.S. regulations with international standards. The FAA says that the proposed rule has two major benefits. It may result in quieter helicopter operations for those models type certificated under these proposed standards and would make it easier to sell U.S. Stage 3 helicopters outside of the United States because the noise standards would be compliant with international standards. This proposed rule is not expected to result in any additional costs, and comments are due to the FAA by November the 19th, 2012. Acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta announced a collaborative effort to bring the NextGen Metroplex initiative to Florida. NextGen is the transformation of the radar-based air traffic control system of today to a satellite-based system of the future. New procedures and technologies will significantly improve safety, capacity, and efficiency, and will reduce fuel burn, carbon emissions, and environmental impacts. A metroplex is a region with several airports serving major metropolitan areas where heavy airport traffic activity and environmental constraints combine to hinder the efficient movement of the air traffic. The Florida Metroplex study includes six airports: Orlando International, Tampa, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, and Fort Myers. Satellite airports including Boca Raton, Daytona Beach, Kissimmee, Marco Island, Naples, Orlando Executive, Orlando Sanford, Sarasota Bradenton, and Stewart, that's Witham Field, are also part of this next-gen initiative. The FAA estimates that more direct routings and more efficient aircraft descents into the Florida Metroplex will save 8 million gallons of fuel annually, which equates to a reduction in carbon emissions by nearly 80,000 metric tons and an estimated $23 million savings in fuel cost. In making the announcement, Huerta said, quote, "We're excited about the improvements NextGen is bringing to Florida. The end result for travelers will be fewer delays, quicker flights, and an even safer, greener flying experience," end quote. The airline consumer organization FlyersRights.org has called on the Department of Transportation to investigate and fine airlines $27,500 per customer stuck on grounded airplanes in July. The DOT announced that 18 domestic flights experienced ground holds for longer than the tarmac rule allowed in July, making it the second worst month since the policy took effect in April 2010, according to DOT records. Kate Haney, the executive director of FlyersRights.org, says, quote, "It's outrageous that any airline, in face of the fines imposed by DOT, would violate the three-hour tarmac rule. But for the DOT to avoid fining these air carriers would truly be a tragedy in the face of July's tarmac confinements," end quote. If DOT should follow through as the Flyers' Rights Group desires, ExpressJet would be the hardest hit, as three of the longest three-hour-plus delays involved their aircraft. A recent spate of flight cancellations at American Airlines, reported to be due to pilots calling in sick, is the result of poor operational performance on the part of the airline's management, not an organized job action. That, according to a statement released Thursday by the Allied Pilots Association. In the statement, the APA said, quote, "There is no job action of any sort that is organized, supported, or sanctioned by the Allied Pilots Association," end quote. Instead, the union says the primary cause of the cancellations has been an increase in mechanical delays. American operates one of the oldest fleets of any major U.S. carrier, and the majority of the workers targeted in yesterday's announcement of 11,000 layoff warnings were mechanics and ground workers. The airline also plans to shut down one of its largest maintenance facilities at DFW. The union statement concluded, quote, APA members are experienced professionals who conduct themselves as professionals under whatever circumstances they encounter. Any negative impact on our airline's operational integrity is of management's own making, end quote. When Aero News continues, the Endeavor continues westward, but not for long. Score a win for Apollo's astronauts and another Enterprise to be decommissioned.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now. It's Friday, September 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. Endeavor is making the last leg of its journey to becoming a museum piece today. Following an overnight stay at Edwards Air Force Base in California, NASA's shuttle carrier aircraft with Endeavor riding on its back were to perform a low flyby northbound to Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area in the early morning hours. Next, the duo was to travel south, making a pass over NASA's Ames Research Center, Vandenberg Air Force Base, and NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory before heading into the Los Angeles area. The shuttle, sitting atop NASA's 747 shuttle carrier aircraft, is expected to land at LAX about noon Pacific Daylight Time. After a couple of weeks of prep time at LAX, the shuttle will eventually be driven through the streets of Inglewood and Los Angeles to its final resting place at the California Science Center, where it will go on display at the end of October. Meanwhile, the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday unanimously approved H.R. 4158, a bipartisan bill introduced by Science, Space, and Technology Committee Chairman Ralph Hall, Republican of Texas, to confirm full ownership rights to artifacts received by Apollo-era astronauts from their space missions. Describing the bill, Chairman Hall said, quote, "This bill seeks to eliminate any further ambiguity about Apollo-era artifacts that were received by the astronauts. It simply says that astronauts who flew through the end of the Apollo program will be granted full right of ownership of any artifacts received from their missions," end quote. Throughout the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs, NASA managers routinely allowed astronauts, at the conclusion of a mission, to keep mementos, pieces of hardware, and personal equipment from the spacecraft. However, beginning in the mid-2000s, NASA began to challenge the ownership of these artifacts by Apollo-era astronauts. As a result, rightful ownership of artifacts has been brought into question, exposing astronauts to possible damages if ownership is not clearly established. H.R. 4158 confirms full ownership rights to these mementos, but specifically excludes lunar rocks and material. The board of directors of Lufthansa has voted to create a low-cost brand to fly many of its domestic and European routes beginning on January 1st of next year. The main airline will still operate flights which will make connections at its twin hubs of Munich and Frankfurt. The not-yet-named budget airline will absorb Lufthansa's current low-cost carrier Germanwings. Reuters reports that the board expects that the new entity will fly as many as 18 million passengers every year. No determination has yet been made about fares or ancillary fees. The new carrier will typically fly routes such as London to Cologne, Dusseldorf, Hamburg, and Stuttgart. It will also handle flights from Birmingham and Manchester in the UK to Berlin. Lufthansa is reportedly working to trim operating costs by over €1 billion, and Air and Business Travel News reports it plans to scrap its Munich-Singapore-Jakarta service, and either has already or plans to discontinue its London-Gatwick to Frankfurt and London City to Munich flights. It also is reportedly evaluating flights to Bangkok. Well, after 51 years of distinguished service, the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise, CVN-65, will inactivate on December 1, 2012, in a ceremony to be held at Norfolk Naval Station in Norfolk, Virginia. The inactivation ceremony will be the last official public event for the ship and will serve as a celebration of life for the ship and the more than 100,000 sailors who served aboard her. A veteran of 25 deployments to the Mediterranean Sea, Pacific Ocean, and the Middle East, Enterprise has served in nearly every major conflict to take place during her history. On September 11, 2001, Enterprise aborted her transit home from a long deployment after the terrorist attacks and steamed overnight to the North Arabian Sea. Big E once again took her place in history when she launched the first strikes in direct support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Commissioned on November the 25th, 1961, and the eighth ship to bear the illustrious name Enterprise, the Big E was the world's first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. You know, ships named Enterprise have served this nation well, and while the first space shuttle was also named Enterprise, it never flew into space. As the Big E heads to port for one final time, and as the last shuttle now heads to its rest as a museum piece, this nation will eventually turn its sights to Mars, and hopefully someday, a ship named Enterprise will carry a crew to the Red Planet and beyond. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.